Your kids are not listening to what you say nearly as much as they are downloading who you are. The way you talk about money when the bills are tight, the way you handle stress when the pressure is high, the way you talk about your body in the mirror, the way you disappear into your phone when the emotions in the room get heavy, the way you say yes when you mean no and then resent everyone for it, the way you perform fine when you're absolutely not fine. They are watching all of it, filing all of it. Building their entire understanding of what life looks like, what love looks like, what they are allowed to want, how much space they're allowed to take up from you, from the unguarded version of you that shows up when you're tired and nobody's performing anymore. And that is either the most motivating thing you've heard today or the most terrifying, maybe both, because it means the work you do on yourself is never just for you. It ripples. Every pattern you break stops being passed forward. Every wound you actually heal instead of manage means your kid doesn't have to carry it. Every time you choose presence over performance, truth over appearance, and rest over relentless productivity, you are writing a different script for the next generation. And every time you don't, you are handing them the one that was handed to you. This episode is about legacy, not the version that sounds good in a eulogy, the version that's being written right now, today, in the ordinary, unremarkable moments of your actual fucking life. Welcome back to Listen Bitch Podcast, Rebellion Season 10. We're on episode 6. I am Brandon Lynette, and 6 episodes in might be, I keep saying it might be a personal one, but this is personal, okay? Because this is the one where it stops being about you and starts being about who comes after you. We've talked about the truth as a daily practice, about your body and the systems keeping it sick, about money and the wounds underneath it. About the relationship shaping you, about spiritual warfare and the unseen battle behind your visible struggles. This episode is where all of those threads converge because every single thing we've named the season lives downstream of what got handed to you. It lives upstream of what you're handing forward. If you're a parent, a mentor, an aunt, an uncle, a coach, a teacher, anyone who has any kind of influence over a young person's developing understanding of what life is, this episode is for you. And if you don't have kids and never plan to, this episode is still for you because legacy is not only biological, it's influence. It is what you model, it is what people learn about what's possible by watching you live. What got handed to you and the patterns you didn't choose is what we're going to talk about now. And before I could really talk about what you're passing down, obviously we have to talk about what was passed to you because you can't interrupt a pattern if you haven't identified it. You have to name it. And you cannot identify a pattern that you've never examined because it's always just been called normal. Every family is a system, and every system has rules. Most of them are unspoken, none of them are voted on, and all of them are enforced through the invisible social pressure of belonging. The rules sound like we don't talk about hard things directly, maybe. We use humor to deflect pain. We show love through doing, not saying. We don't ask for help because asking for help means weakness. We don't talk about money. We don't talk about feelings. We don't talk about what actually happened because what actually happened is too much to hold. So we agreed a long time ago just to move forward and call it resilience. You absorb those rules before you could read. And they are grooved into your nervous system as a definition of normal, which means you've been operating from them your entire adult life, in your relationships, in your finances, in your body, in your faith, in your parenting, without ever consciously choosing them. They just are. They feel like you. They feel like personality. They feel like the way things work. It's just the way it is, right? Some of what got handed to you was good, real good. Maybe genuine faith, real work ethic, loyalty, creativity, strength that came from survival. Honor all of that. It deserves to be honored. But some of what got handed to you was someone else's bullshit, someone else's unhealed wound, someone else's fear, someone else's coping mechanism that worked well enough to survive their circumstances and was never examined closely enough to ask whether it was still serving anyone. And that part, the unexamined part, is what runs silently in the background of your life, shaping decisions you think you're making freely until you actually look at it. The generational pattern doesn't end because you moved away or made more money or went to therapy or became a Christian. It ends when someone in the line decides to look at it directly, to name it honestly, and to do the actual work of rewiring it. That person can be you, It has to start somewhere, so let it start with you. There's a specific kind of tired that a lot of parents are walking around in right now that is different from sleep deprivation or just a hard season. It is the tired of carrying more than was ever meant to be carried by one person, tired of performing competence and capability around the clock while internally running on fumes. The tired that comes from never actually stopping. Not because stopping feels dangerous, but because in the quiet, that's when things come up. Things you don't have time for, things that don't have a place in a schedule built entirely around productivity and output and everyone else's needs. So you stay busy. You add another thing. You volunteer for the extra project. You say yes to the carpool and the committee and the favor and the obligation. You build a life so full of motion that there is no room for stillness. And you call this being responsible. You call it being present, being a good parent, being reliable, and somewhere underneath all of it, in the moments you can't quite outrun, late at night or early morning, in the car alone between obligations, there is a voice asking whether any of this is actually working, whether the busyness is producing the life you wanted or just the appearance of one. And the glorification of busy is one of the most damaging lies running in parent culture right now. The idea that your worth as a parent is proportional to your output, that a good mother is always on, always available, always doing, that a good father is always providing, always building, always moving, that rest is laziness, that stopping is failure, that the child who is handed the most scheduled, enriched, optimized childhood is the one who wins. And by extension, the parent who built that childhood is the parent who succeeded. Your kids do not need more activities. I homeschool and my kids play rec ball, and that rec ball like rules us. I don't know how it's juggled to do public school and sports and have any family time. I don't get it. And I'm telling you right now, okay, your kids need more of you. A regulated, present, actually here version of you. Not the performing version, not the holding it together version, but the real one that comes and shows up when you're operating at 2% capacity with a full face of competence painted on top of it. And here's the generational thread in this. If your children watch you run yourself into the ground their entire childhood, if what they learn from watching you is that love means self-erasure, that worthiness is earned through exhaustion, that stopping is not allowed, they will do the same thing to themselves, to their families, to their kids. The pattern does not break because you hoped it would. It breaks because someone interrupts it. And that interruption starts with you deciding that your rest is not a reward you earn after you've done enough. It is a requirement of being a sustainable, present, actual, living, breathing, human fucking being. And modeling that for your children is one of the most important things you will ever do. And I feel like there's people out there that feel like they're doing everything right and still feel empty. And it's another one that's super quiet that needs to be named. Because there is a particular point, pain point, that lives in those people. You've done everything. You followed the rules. You built the life. You checked the boxes. You showed up to every event. You know, you kept the house running. You held the family together. And still, you feel a hollow quality underneath it all that you just don't have the language for. And it's not depression exactly. It's not crisis. It's just that persistent sense that something essential is missing, that you have constructed a correct life but are not actually living one. And this is the cost of building a life around performance rather than presence, around the idea of meeting, you know, expectations rather than answering the actual question of what you were here to do. It is possible to be very busy, very functional, externally successful person who is fundamentally disconnected from themselves, from their desires, from their calling, their own interior life even. Because every ounce of energy has been directed outward for so long that the inward life has quietly gone dark. And this is a parenting issue because your children are not just watching what you do, they're watching whether you're alive while you do it. They're watching whether your eyes light up, whether you laugh from your belly, whether there is a person inside the parent, a real human being with passions and opinions and a calling of their own, or just a function, a role, a very well-executed performance of life. Kids who grow up watching a parent execute a role without being fully alive inside of it learn one of two things. Either they learn that this is what adulthood looks like, responsible, functional, and quietly joyless, and they resign themselves to the same, or they feel the wrongness of it and spend their adult years overcorrecting in the opposite direction, chasing aliveness in ways that have no foundation. Neither outcome is what you want for them. The rebellion here is permission. Permission to be a full human being inside your parenting rather than a self-erased function of it. Permission to have a calling that is yours alone, separate from your identity as a parent, that you pursue with real seriousness and real investment. Permission to let your kids see you fail and recover, to see you pursue something hard, to see you be honest about your own struggle and your own growth, and see you be someone they will one day want to know, not just as their parent, but as a person. And that's the legacy, not the perfectly executed childhood. Okay. I tried that with my oldest girls. Very messy, but I perfectly executed all the boxes. I checked all the boxes I wish I would have had when I was a kid. They didn't get me in the healed version. And now it's naming that. It's healing that generational handout. It's taking that back. It's letting them see what a fully lived life is and being stable in who I am now to give them that comfort so that we can grow with who we're growing into be in our potential now. Legacy sounds abstract, really, until you map it into a Tuesday. Like you're passing down your relationship with your body every time you comment on your own weight or refuse to eat the thing in front of your kids or make physical appearance the first thing you notice and name. Your daughter is learning whether her body is something to be managed and controlled or something to be inhabited and trusted from you. Right now, not from a conversation you'll have when she's older, but from what she sees today. You're passing down your relationship with money every time you react to financial stress with panic or secrecy or shame. Your son is learning whether money is something that controls your family's emotional weather or something your family manages with clarity and calm. From the texture of the room when the bills come, not from a financial literacy lesson, but like from the atmosphere. You're passing down your relationship with conflict every time you go silent instead of addressing something directly. Every time you've let resentment build instead of having the honest conversation. Every time you model the way that you handle the hard things is not to handle them and hope they resolve. Your kids are learning what to do with hard emotions and hard relationships from watching you. Whatever you model, they will practice, and what they practice, they will pass forward. You are passing down your relationship with God every time the faith you perform publicly is visibly disconnected from how you actually live at home. Kids have extraordinary sensitivity to the gap between what adults say and how they actually are. A child who grows up watching a parent perform faith on Sunday and live from fear, control, and scarcity the rest of the week does not learn from faith. They learn hypocrisy. And they will spend years either replicating it or running from it. And you are passing down your relationship with yourself, with your own worth, with your own voice, with your own calling, every time you disappear yourself to manage everybody else. Every time you treat your own needs as the lowest priority in the room, every time you model that love requires self-erasure, your kids are learning that they are allowed to want how much space they're allowed to take up, whether their own needs matter from you, from the ordinary, unremarkable Tuesday version of you. And it's not a guilt trip. I just need you to hear that, okay? It's an invitation. You did not choose the patterns that were handed to you. You did not ask for the wounds. I didn't. My kids didn't. Neither of us asked for the coping mechanisms, the family rules, the generational fears that showed up pre-installed in your nervous system before you had the capacity to evaluate any of it. None of that was your fault. But you're an adult now. I'm awake now. I see it now. You have capacity now. And what you do with that capacity, whether you examine what was handed to you or whether you hand it forward without looking at it, that part is yours. That's on you. The most powerful thing you can do for your children is not give them a perfect childhood. It's to do your own work. Actually deal with the patterns instead of managing them. Actually heal the wounds instead of bandaging them. Actually live the faith instead of performing it. Actually pursue the calling instead of negotiating with it. Actually rest instead of glorifying exhaustion. Actually show up as a full human being, incomplete, growing, honest, alive, instead of a carefully maintained performance of one. Because the child who watches their parent do their own work, who watches them struggle honestly to grow visibly, to change courageously, that child learns something no curriculum can teach. They learn that becoming is possible, that patterns can be broken, and that the story you were handed is not the story you have to live, that God can be trusted with the real version of your life, not just the presentable version, that legacy is not about what you leave behind, it's about who you become while you're here and what that becoming makes possible for the people watching. That is the rebellion. That is the inheritance worth leaving. Not going to shock you when I say you have to identify one pattern you received that you do not want to pass forward. Just one. Not the whole family system, one specific thing. Maybe the way conflict gets handled or the way money gets talked about, the way feelings get dismissed or performed. Name it specifically and write it down because a pattern you can name is a pattern you can interrupt, and a pattern you cannot name is going to run you forever. Second, ask your kids or whatever, the young people in your life, one real question this week and actually listen to the answer. Not a logistical question, like a real one. How are you actually doing? What do you love the most right now? What's hard right now for you? And then stay in the conversation long enough to hear the answer, not just the surface, okay? Presence is not proximity. You could be in the same room as your child every day and be completely absent. One real conversation is worth more than 100 days of busy parallel existence. And third, do one thing this week that is entirely for you. Not for the family. And I don't, this one is really hard for me sometimes. Not for the business, not productive in any external sense, but something that makes you feel alive, that reconnects you to the person you are underneath the role, because your kids need to see that person. They need to know that person exists and that person needs to exist, not just for their sake, but for yours. Because you are called to a life, not just a function. And living that life fully is not selfish. It is the most important thing you can model. The legacy is being written right now, not someday. Today, I want you to make it one worth inheriting. Six episodes, bitches. Six conversations that I hope have been cracking something open rather than just filling time in your day or space or that quiet void. And this one is close to my heart because I believe with everything in me that the most world-changing work happening right now is not on stages or in boardrooms, it's in homes. In your home with your babies, in the ordinary daily moments where a parent decides to do things differently, to break a pattern, to show up real, to pass down something worth having. If this episode landed somewhere true for you, like the show, subscribe, leave a written review, share it. Share it with someone. Real impact. This is how people who need the show find it. And there are parents out there right now who are running on empty, carrying patterns that they didn't choose, doing everything they know how to do, and they need this conversation. Go to brandonlinette.com, plug into everything I'm building this season. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, watch the videos. You are not just building a life, you are building a legacy. And the rebellion, the one that matters the most, the one that echoes the longest, is deciding that what gets passed forward from you is worth something real.